All week long, Michigan Radio is airing a special series of reports exploring the schools and the educational opportunities in Stockbridge. It's part of the State of Opportunity Project. Stockbridge is a village about midway between Ann Arbor and Lansing. Like so many towns and villages around Michigan, the economy's taken a beating, industry's gone, and the school system is one of the few ways that kids from Stockbridge can get a leg up. Just what can be learned from this rural town and its efforts to make sure that its kids get a good education, even in the face of shrinking state aid and a tough economy? Sarah Alvarez from the State of Opportunity team joins us now. Welcome to Stateside. Good to have you, Sarah.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Well, tell us why the choice to focus on Stockbridge?
I think that Stockbridge is like a lot of districts in Michigan. It is a rural district. Industry is gone, like you said. And that's the case with so many places around here. It really hasn't recovered from the Great Recession. And so in those places, people are very reliant on the public schools. And there isn't any other choice in Stockbridge. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not charter schools. There's not private schools. Kids can do online learning, but just a little bit, you know. So that's the only game in town. And I think it's important to look at what a traditional public school is doing in the face of all this changing educational policy and shrinking funding.
How many students in the district?
There's about 1,500 students in the whole district. It's a one-mile town. A village is 1 mile, but it's a changing town. And Nick Roberts was one of the youth journalists that worked with me on this project. And he gives us an audio postcard, a view into one of the places that is the hangout in Stockbridge.
We are at McDonald's in Stockbridge. Stockbridge is incredibly small. We have one intersection with a stoplight. It's not even a stoplight, just a blinking red light up above. We have three restaurants, two of which are more directed towards the elderly, so the teens, we don't want to go there, so we come to McDonald's. We come hang out, we do homework, we just chill. I mean, there's lots of times where we don't even buy anything, we'll just hang out. This is Gabe Schrey.
Once I got a Saturday detention coming to McDonald's.
He's 18.
I mean, on a weekday, you know, usually after school, I mean, as you're walking out of school, you see your buddies, say, hey, after school, you want to hang out? And if you tell your friends you're going to hang out after school, there's a 50% chance you're going to go to McDonald's, because unless you're going to someone's house, there's nowhere else to go in Stockbridge or in town.
I mean, it's not just high school students that hang out here. Everybody comes here. Oh, those are the morning special. There are two groups of elderly that come in the morning. There's usually a 6 a.m. group who comes to get their coffee, but it's, many of them return at 9 o'clock to get another coffee. I actually know quite a few. One of them is Donnie Lewis, a good friend of mine. Since I started writing the story, I got a job here. Everyone here is really friendly. I mean, everyone knows everybody. And it's just a lot of fun, actually. Even though I work here, I still come here and hang out. Hanging out in the Stockbridge McDonald's. This is Nick Roberts.
That's great. And so Nick is a student, and I think the key to what makes your report so special is how you, tell us how you pulled the kids in to become a part of this.
Well, I was very lucky to work with a teacher named Elizabeth Sear, and she teaches journalism classes there. So I worked with her beginner journalism students and then a couple of them who had worked on the paper before. But most of these kids, actually, this was kind of their first introduction to journalism. So I ended up working with 17 students to produce pieces. Some of them wrote for the web and some of them did audio diaries like Nick's. And I think they give us a view into Stockbridge that we couldn't get any other way. And working with these kids was phenomenal.
Thanks, Sarah. Stay with us. We're going to continue our conversation about the efforts Stockbridge is making in its schools to give every one of its students an excellent education. Many things are working well for both teachers and students, and that includes a focus on science and math. This is Stateside on Michigan Radio. This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Continuing our conversation now with Michigan radio reporter Sarah Alvarez. She's part of the State of Opportunity team. And all this week, she's bringing us a series of reports exploring the schools and the educational opportunities in Stockbridge, Michigan, a very tiny village. But Sarah, you say Stockbridge schools are producing some very high-achieving students?
They are, and I think that that is what is so interesting about Stockbridge. They are high-achieving. Their schools perform better than the state average, and the demographics would not let you lead you to believe that that could happen.
Why do you think it is? What's happening that's so good?
I think it is a small system. It's very well run. The superintendent is very well liked. The principals of the schools are very well liked and well respected. Teachers are very engaged and very, I think they have a lot of room to experiment. So they feel continuously challenged in a way that, is rewarding. It's always challenging to be a teacher, but I think that there's a lot of kind of professional development that they can do because it's small, because they have the backing of the administration. They can get projects through that that are interesting to them.
It sounds like they can be a lot more nimble. They can just respond to needs and get it done.
I think so, but it's also a school district that doesn't have very much money. So I think it's impressive that they can do that because population is shrinking, property taxes are low. So it is a school district that is run very close to the bone economically. And over 40% of the kids in that district are free and reduced lunch. So, I think the gains that they have made are pretty impressive. But I also think there are probably school districts like it all over the state, and we just don't know about them because they're small towns.
And so it's a chance to really shed a light on what they're doing. Certainly, as you look around in the world of education, all signs point to the STEM skills, the science, technology, the engineering, the math-based skills as being so important for the jobs of the future. So tell us, how is Stockbridge preparing its kids for these jobs?
That's one of the things that I think one of those kind of special projects that teachers and principals have put into being there. They really focus on STEM almost at every level. So in the elementary school, they have an exploratory academy, which is a hands-on learning environment for third, fourth, and fifth graders. It's almost all hands-on learning. And it is very impressive to see little girls and little boys making hovercrafts to learn about torque, and to hear eight-year-olds say torque and talk about buoyancy instead of something floating. I think they're really getting in there and they're really understanding complex concepts. And they are having a lot of fun, the teachers and the students. And then there's a very impressive underwater robotics program in Stockbridge. They build underwater robots. And they take them to competitions and they take them out in the field to actually do work. And that's trickling down all through the school system. The elementary students are doing that. They're starting this year to try to incorporate into the middle school, which is a place where I think it's harder to innovate. There's a lot of STEM education going on there. And then the high school has a really broad array of technical classes for career training. And unlike a lot of places, those technical classes are for everyone. Students and teachers alike will tell you that kids do not track themselves as like, I'm going to college, or no, I'm going into a career.
Voc ed.
Exactly. It is very modern. They do, alternative energy classes. They build wind turbines, but they also do a lot of work on cars. And kids who are going to college take those classes.
And it strikes me as you're talking, Sarah, that you say it starts young and you talk about the boys and girls together. So when it's starting young, it's just part of their vocabulary and part of their mindset. And it isn't something that gets introduced later where they have math fear, for instance.
I think so. And I think we're really going to see a change in the coming years in Stockbridge because they're now starting so young. So they've always been very strong at the high school. And now they're starting at the elementary level. So I think when those kids come to high school, the things that they're going to be able to do are going to be very impressive. We'll hear from another one of the youth journalists, Alex Wilson. He got started doing computer programming between, I think he says, 6th and 7th grade. And, now he's working with people, in other countries.
Wow. Let's take a listen to Alex Wilson.
I'm Alex Wilson. I'm 16, a junior at Stockbridge High School, and I'm sitting in front of my computer at 9:50 because I'm programming. On school nights, I usually work at my computer until around 10:30. My parents will sometimes have to tell me to go to bed during the summer because I stay up so late working. I usually listen to techno music like Daft Punk while I'm working because it just kind of keeps my ears occupied and lets me focus. Often while I'm programming, I will jot things down or sketch things out on note cards, and they're pretty much all over my desk. I've been doing programming since the summer between 6th and 7th grade. I was given two programming manuals at a neighbor's garage sale, one of which I read pretty much cover to cover. My friends in Stockbridge know that I do programming, but none of them do it themselves. There are a few people currently working with me. One of them lives in Ontario, and the other one in Chicago. I'm working on a project which aims to create an alternative to gaming consoles like the Xbox or PlayStation. We all contribute in our spare time. Me when I'm not in school, and them when they're not working. My dad is an IT guy, and he works with computers for a living. He never pushed me to go down this path, but he really has helped me grow as a programmer. This summer, I do plan on doing freelance work to start saving up for college. I do enjoy physics, and I'm considering pursuing a career in it, which would definitely involve using the computer skills I've taught myself. Stockbridge Schools offers a lot of opportunities for science, technology, and math, but I sort of take my own path when it comes to programming. I don't go to the programming training offered at the Career Center in Lansing, and even though I did take one class for programming as a freshman, at the time of taking it, I was already pretty well versed in the concepts being taught. I'd really like to work with stuff like the Xbox Kinect motion capture and voice recognition, because I think there's a lot of promise in that area. Plus, it's just really fun to tell a computer what to do by shouting at it and waving your arms around.
This is not a young man who's going to have a problem finding employment when he gets out of school.
I hope not.
No, he certainly has it. And I think that idea that I'm hearing this theme of really having high expectations for at-risk kids is so key.
I think so. They focus a lot in the elementary school. They use a program called Response to Intervention. They got a state grant to pilot the program about 6 years ago. And it is based on the idea that, you know, if you help kids harness their energy and control themselves, that they will learn better and that reading scores will go up and math scores will go up. And they've found that to be the case. So that is where those expectations start. And the expectations for at-risk kids are very high. And the expectations for everyone is high. I mean, even in the alternative high school, which is really just a room kind of off the middle school, and that's for kids. It's the last-ditch effort to try to keep kids in the school system.
Right.
Kids who have not succeeded in the high school. They had 9 graduates from the alternative high school last year, and 5 of them are getting additional education at community college or in the military. I mean, it's impressive that even for those kids, you know, there is still more education and that those kids still value education.
And none of that costs money. It's a mindset, isn't it? It isn't a budget line item. It's a mindset that there's no price tag on that.
I think so. I think, though, that the people in Stockbridge will tell you, though, that they are very worried about their ability to continue to provide a high-quality education because the budget is just so pinched. I mean, they've been cutting and cutting for years. And there is additional aid from the state this year, but it's going to be probably budget neutral for them. So, I mean, I think they are worried that what they've been able to do with very few resources, that they're going to be able to continue to do that.
So we're going to have a lot to absorb as we listen to your reports all week long here on Michigan Radio. But we have one last audio postcard, and this is Gabe.
This is Gabe Schrei. He is one of the youth journalists, and he is also in my story on middle school, because in middle school, he was a little bit of a disaster, as he will tell you. His grades were bad. He did not have any self-confidence, and he had a very tough time. He really pulled it together. He is going to college next year. He is well-liked. He is well-respected, and he's happy. So this is kind of his story of how he pulled it together and how football helped him do that.
Stockbridge High School senior Gabe Schrei and Sarah Alvarez produced this audio postcard. Thank you for listening.
Chelsea, will please come to the office?
All the way through middle school, I was bullied. You know, I got pushed around by everyone. I didn't care about my classwork at all. And when I was in 7th grade, my grandfather passed away in front of me. And I had to leave the care of my grandmother and move in with my dad in this brand new place, which was Stockbridge. So my freshman year, I came into high school, and in the first semester, it was like nothing had changed at all for me. At the time, I was probably around, 270 pounds, maybe 280. So I thought to myself, how can I change this? And my solution was to begin trying to fend for myself. So I began to work out on a daily basis, and I started dieting. Well, the varsity center, John Grassmeyer, started to pressure me to come out and play football. And I was really, really bad at football. And even though everybody was doubting me and, giving me a hard time, I stuck with it. And that's why that offseason, I just began to train like no other. I just started training daily, every morning. I'd get up at like 5 in the morning and run, lift weights. Coach Killinger, as promised, showed up. As time went on, I really got to know Coach Killinger, and the more I got to know him, the more I looked up to him. He does not consume alcohol, smoke, swear. He is a very religious man. Carl Heidrich was my position coach, and I really looked up to him. He's also the principal of the high school. Anyhow, sometime in the beginning of the season, he was standing in front of all the linemen, and he says, "We're going to have to work pretty hard to make this line function this season." Then he pointed me out, and he said, "Look at this guy right here. In this offseason, this guy has doubled everything about him. His strength, his size, his speed." The way he talked about me in front of everyone like that, it really encouraged me. During our daily tackling drills, I was carrying the ball, and one of my teammates tackled me. When he hit me, he landed on my leg, and as soon as it happened, I knew something was wrong. I dislocated my left knee and broke my left fibula, and it was just total heartbreak for me. I cried on homecoming probably 3 or 4 times, and it was just, I've never worked for anything in my life like I've worked to be a good football player. And if I hadn't started playing football, I have no idea where I'd be right now. I wore the number 90 in black and orange, and I'd like to think that I did that number proud. And though I've only had one real offer to play at the next level, you never know what'll happen.
Fantastic. Sarah working with over 15 youth journalists from Stockbridge High School to bring the Stockbridge Project to the airwaves. We can't wait to hear what you have to have all week long, Sarah.
Thanks so much.
Then the Stockbridge series of reports will be airing during Morning Edition and All Things Considered all week long here on Michigan Radio. It's all part of Michigan Radio's State of Opportunity Project, looking at ways to break the cycle of poverty and to build opportunities for Michigan's most disadvantaged children.